Welcome to the Compass Catholic Podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We love teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. How do we know they're the best ways? Because it's in the Bible. Over 2,500 verses that show us how God would love us to handle the gifts that He's provided. And we teach these biblical principles in our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more simply by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined as always by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Today's topic is called Financial Clutter and how that came about. John and Evelyn just returned from a meeting out in Denver, Colorado with the Catholic Credit Union, and out of that meeting came today's show. So John, why don't you pick it up from here about your discussions?
We talked about ways to help their members be wise financial managers and to teach them to honor God with the way that they spend and they save and they give their money. The president referred to something he called financial clutter.
I love that term. That is so typical of the things that you do that you know you're not supposed to do, or the things that you don't do that you know you're supposed to do.
So making good financial decisions isn't just about providing for the distant future. It's about cutting down on the very real worries you feel each day, whether it means saving more or spending less, paying off credit cards, or getting rid of your mortgage.
So we'll call today's topic financial clutter.
So we're going to talk about some things to help you get control of your finances and reduce the amount of financial clutter in your life. So what's the first idea there, John?
Well, I think the first thing is probably not giving back to God. Giving is a way to honor God and thank Him for everything He's given us. And most people think that once they get their finances in order, then they'll be able to give.
But if you have that mindset, there's never enough. It's always this ever-ending, when I get enough money, I'll finally give. But that point never gets reached in many cases.
Yeah, our experience is that once you start giving back to God some of what He's given you, everything falls into place in your financial life. And there's a great verse out of Acts 20:35. It says, "Keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'"
So giving is the number one priority if you're trying to get your financials in order.
Do you think there are individuals that do not give because they feel what they have to offer is not sufficient?
I think most people have giving as a second thought. And once they get through all the bills and the information that, or the money they need to pay for kids' activities and school and clothes, and I mean, there's any number of ways our money trickles out of our hands, giving just isn't a priority for many people.
Well, but I think I would agree with what Steve said, that, you know, the people that can give $5 a week or $5 a month, I think sometimes they feel like, you know, who's going to miss my $5? But in fact, I think if you looked at the average of just about every parish in the United States, if every parishioner gave $5 a week, the parish would have no financial difficulties, unless it's just a really teeny tiny parish with a
right.
couple hundred families. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the parishes that have 1,500 or 2,000 members, if they got $5 a week from every single person or every single family, they wouldn't have financial issues.
So what's the second mark of financial clutter, John?
Well, it's probably got to be spending more than you earn. You know, if you spend more than you earn, it's going to catch up with you. It might not happen immediately, but before the end of the month comes, you know.
Too much month at the end of the money, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's not to say that you have to pay for everything with cash. You know, there's things like mortgages and student loans that are a practical reality for the vast majority of Americans. And it's still crucial to make a realistic budget and stick to it so you live within your means. And those things that are the outstanding expenses, like mortgages and student loans and things like that, you have to get a loan for them in a lot of cases. We also attended the Midwest Catholic Family Life Conference this past weekend. And there was more than one person that told us how their children are in college and paying their way through college and not coming out with any debt whatsoever. In fact, one lady said that her son is going to graduate with $100,000 saved because he and his sisters operate a business.
So he saved that much money before he went to college, plus pay for college on his own.
So they're making enough money that he can pay for his own college expenses, tuition,
yes.
Room and board.
That's the way it was explained.
Kind of
that
business.
plus scholarships. Yep.
Okay.
It's a dog grooming.
Smart, definitely smart kids. And that's the best time to start is when you're young. If you start taking care of your money when you're young, you don't have to worry about all this financial clutter when you get old.
You know, it's crucial to make a realistic budget, stick to it, live within your means. Another great verse is from Proverbs 21:20, which says, "Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes it."
So I think the third thing, getting back to the saving from the college kid, is that a financial clutter implication is not saving anything. You can have all kinds of different opinions from different financial planners about how much you need to save for a rainy day or to provide for retirement. But if you're not saving anything and you're living paycheck to paycheck, that's just being irresponsible.
Not only does it provide no opportunity for things such as buying a house, it naively assumes that you won't ever need the money for a rainy day should something unfortunate happen. And I don't know, there's an awful lot of rainy days around.
Yeah.
Again, I go back to the question on giving. The same with saving. Do individuals feel that I only have $20 left? It's not going to mean anything if I save the 20. Let me spend it.
I think a lot of people think there's going to be this day, this perfect day in the future when they're going to be able to have enough money to save. But that perfect day never comes unless you make it happen. And that's what I think this guy was talking about with financial clutter. Is you know you should be doing it, but you're not quite doing it.
Oh, that's a key issue. And you know, if a person or a family started at 21 and saved for 45 years, At a reasonable rate of return, they saved maybe $1,000 a year. That's not a lot of money. I forget how much that is per month, but it's less than $100 a month, okay? And you save at about 7%, which is a reasonable rate for mutual funds. You're going to have $600,000 or $700,000. I forget what the number is exactly. I don't have it in front of me, but you know, it's a considerable sum, much more than the statistics that we see on a daily basis where the average person retiring has less than, you know, like $50,000. You know, how long is that going to last?
You know, the other thing that implicates, that has an implication for this financial clutter mentally as far as finances go is overspending on your housing, living in a place that you really can't afford to live.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, financial experts say you shouldn't spend more than 30 to 40% of your take-home pay on housing and all the related expenses. Now, what's a related expense? Well, that would be your insurance. It would be for property taxes and your utility bills and the maintenance and upkeep.
The HOA?
HOA. Okay. All that stuff goes into that 30 to 40% number. And most people look at just the mortgage. If I could, and I remember when we were young, we were thinking the number was 40%. You know, if we could just get the mortgage to 40%, then we'd be skating. And
that was when our mortgage payment was $232.17. I remember that.
You know, the same goes when couples or individuals want to renovate something in their home, whether it's the kitchen, the bathrooms, or they want to install brand new floors. You know, they see these things on television and they're like, gee, I've got to have that and I want to have it now. I can't wait. But they don't think about a budget. What can they afford to do? And can they afford to do it right now?
You've got to look at your housing expenses. And it's especially true if you're not making a lot of money because all the bills are going to gobble up the rest of your budget. You know, think of it this way. If you take home $2,000 a month but spend half of that on housing, you've got $1,000 left to survive for the rest of the month.
So depending on how big your family is, that's $33 a day for food, gas, clothing, insurance, and everything else in between that you spend money on. And if you've got a family of more than one, that's not a lot of money. Even if you have a family of one, that's not a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you stretch yourself too thin on housing, you're going to struggle to pay for everything else, and you may never be able to save anything.
And you got to make sure that you include all those expenses in that. So the next thing I think in the clutter is missing out on your employer's 401k match. You know that you have to save for the future, because every person should be saving for retirement in some way. And if your employer offers some kind of 401k matching, a failure to save is an even bigger mistake.
Yeah, you know, that 401k match is really free money if your employer gives you the match. I mean, it's money that they're just giving you to do something you're supposed to be doing anyway. So if you're not contributing to a retirement plan that your employer matches, it's like ignoring free money. If you have the chance, make sure you invest in your 401k and maximize the employer match.
And if you're not doing that, it just kind of hangs back there in the back of your mind, and it causes clutter.
I think it's safe to say that a majority of us have experienced financial clutter. Do we recognize it? Have we done anything about cleaning it up? That's why we stress over and over and over to track your monthly spending. Look for the spending categories that look like they're getting out of hand. Will those dollars be better spent on education, saving for a family vacation or retirement? You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, working hard to help you eliminate debt and the items like financial clutter. So, Evelyn, what are some of the other items that you can classify as financial clutter?
Investing with greed or desperation. You know, if you choose aggressive short-term fixes because you're behind on your savings, it's going to cause problems, because higher rates of return come with higher risks. And if you're promised instant profits through something like flipping houses or day trading, it's going to be too good to be true.
You got to keep greed in check. It's just absolutely crucial. You can't be greedy. You've got to plan properly so that you don't fall behind
on your saving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. That's a key thing. If you build up a good emergency fund and start planning for retirement early, like we talked about in the first half of saving $1,000 a year, you don't have to take big risks out of desperation as you get closer to retirement age.
You know, speaking of retirement age, I think another piece of financial clutter is when people think of their retirement fund as a savings account, and they are tempted to think the money in there can be used early, like before age 59 and a half. So they withdraw from their 401k or their IRA to meet short-term needs like a debt snowball or remodeling the house or something. But when they withdraw that money, it causes problems.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you pull your funds out before 59 and a half, you're going to have to pay federal taxes on the money because it's going to be classified as income. You're going to have to pay state taxes. You're going to have to pay early withdrawal penalties, which is 10% more. You just lose a lot of money by doing that. And trust me, we know, because we've done it.
You also have to repay the 401k. A lot of companies that manage your account, they require that you pay that back. Now, normally they don't put a time limit on how long it will take, but you do have to pay that back. And you're right, Evelyn. We work with couples that look at the 401k as a source of money to help pay down the debt, not understanding that if they do this, the consequences they'll suffer because of the taxes that they have to pay.
Well, the losing the money on the taxes and the penalty is one thing, but you're also losing all the money you could have earned if you'd left that invested over that period of time. So you're not losing out on the money that's withdrawn. You're also losing out on the returns, as well as wasting money by paying the penalties for early withdrawal.
And now you don't have money for retirement. So, you know, it's a huge lose kind of situation. And shifting the shortfall from one part of your budget to another is not a really good long-term solution. And so it's just not a good thing. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty.
What about people that wait too long for life or disability insurance? Is that another piece of financial clutter?
Well, I think it could be. It could be because life insurance companies aren't run like charities, and they set premiums up based on the risk of payouts. And so it's only natural then that as a person gets older, if they're going to go buy insurance, they're going to have to pay a higher premium because their
closer to the end.
Yeah, the chances of death are growing. The actuaries, that's a fancy name for a high-priced accountant, set the rates based on the average lifespan of a man or a woman.
But shouldn't an older person, I mean, if a person is wise in with their money when they're young, wouldn't they almost be self-insured by the time they got to be older if they really did a good job managing their money?
If they could manage their money, but if they didn't save, it wouldn't do them any good. So if saving is included in doing a good job of managing their money...
Well, of course it is.
You would reach that point where you become self-insured, essentially.
Which means your estate, it doesn't need, your surviving people don't need your income in order to survive. There's enough money in the bank to live on for the rest of their lives.
That's correct.
And enough money to cover the funeral.
That's correct. Well, the funeral would be the least cost of all that. But
see, in my case, I have a small life insurance, so when I pass, Audrey has spending money to celebrate. No.
Don't say that.
She says, what about the party? I'm going, listen.
Get a bag of potato chips and a beer and sit out on the back porch, right?
It's going to be a heck of a wake, Steve.
She's always thinking.
You know, but really, the most important time for life insurance is when you're a young family, you've got children to raise, you've got college to worry about, you've got a big mortgage, you've got debts from school. That's when you really need the high insurance premium.
And that's what our concern was, the mortgage and the education.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, once they're out of college and the house was almost done, you know, being paid for and stuff, that's when our term life insurance expired.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, you mentioned a key word there, Steve. You mentioned term insurance. And that is the least expensive form of life insurance that you can buy. You know, that comes in multiple variations, and we're not going to talk about life insurance here today, but know that that is much less expensive. You can get a significantly higher amount of coverage, and most families with two or three kids need $700,000 to $1 million worth of insurance to fully cover the loss of the husband's income or the breadwinner's income.
Now, do you only recommend life insurance for the breadwinner?
No.
Okay, because I'm thinking as the wife passes away and you have small children, her life insurance would take care of whatever
daycare
care they need.
Yes. Yeah, and that can be very expensive, and most people don't think about that, you know, how much work the mother actually does around the house, even if she's working and caring for the children and everything else for the upkeep of the house.
So while we're on the happy topic of dying, what about making a will? That's another piece of financial clutter. Everybody knows they need a will. They know they need to take care of their family, but a lot of people don't have one. So if you don't have a will, you need to get one.
I don't want to do that because that's an ugly topic, and I don't want to talk ugly.
I know you have a will, so that's...
But that's the way people think.
It is, yeah. I can push it back, and I'll never die.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a great program. It's called Set Your House in Order. It's a 5-week Bible study, and you can go to the website, compasscatholic.org, and... buy the book, go through the book, or take it at your parish as a Bible study class, and we give you just about every form that you're going to need to really set your house in order and have all these documents complete.
All the information your family needs in case of your demise or accident, or even if you become ill. I mean, we have a good friend that has been in the hospital for several weeks incapacitated, and you know, his family would need to know where things are in order to take care of it.
There's another verse, Psalms 90, verse 12. teach us how short our life is, so that we may become wise.
So speaking of being wise, another really bad thing to do is to follow all the trends, because money is so personal. And if you're letting other people's perceptions of what is right lead you astray, you may be led down the wrong path.
Yeah, some people think it's really foolish to ever have a penny of debt, while other people, they want to leverage everything that they do, you know, so that everything is financed and they're not spending any of their money. Then there's other people who think it's a waste of money to eat out in restaurants frequently, and, you know, consequently, they never go out. And other people will always go out, and they don't ever cook. There's moderation.
Well, and as long as you understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, and you're really totally honest about your personal financial goals, and you stick to a realistic plan, then what other people do and what other people think simply isn't important.
Your life and your finances are just as unique as you are, and they should match. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you."
And while you're talking about conforming yourself to the standards of this world, a lot of people get into trouble because they're keeping up with the neighbors. You know, unless you're as wealthy as Bill Gates, some people are always going to have more than you do. And that's okay. You just learn to need to be content. You need to learn to be content with what you have. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another Bible verse, 1 Timothy 6:8. If we have food and clothing, we shall be content. And that is a key word, contentment.
Financial clutter can also come from being too unorganized, because you may miss payments or have late fees, or you may get surprised by a large bill which comes once a quarter and you're not expecting it. So being organized at some level is part of being a good steward.
You may waste money buying things that you already have because you can't find what you do have. And being organized at some level is really part of being a good steward. It's just like cleaning the clutter out of your garage. Cleaning up the financial clutter needs to be done one step at a time.
You know, and the last thing is, if you don't know what to do and the easiest course of action is not doing anything, then you're going to be in trouble, because if you keep doing what you've been doing, you keep getting the same results you've been getting. So if you're confused about where to start and what to do first, go to compasscatholic.org, and under the Resources tab, download a copy of the Compass Money Map, and that'll help you figure out what to do first and what's more important. It's a great tool to help you set priorities, meet your goals, and stay on track.
A last verse for you, Mark 8:36. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?
John and Evelyn, thank you so very much. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but it is worth repeating, especially for those that have never or haven't done it in a while. Track your spending. Every penny that you spend, every week, every month, track your spending. And at the end of the month, see if there's any financial clutter that you can get rid of. Okay, I think we have time for one or two emails to answer their questions. Here we go. You guys ready? John and Evelyn, I just graduated from college. I'm starting my first job. The question I have is, how do I establish credit?
Well, I think one of the things that they could do is get a secured credit card to help build up their credit score. Now, what is a secured credit card? It's one like you go in and pay $500 to the credit card company. You put that money in advance, and then you have $500 that you can charge. As soon as that $500 is depleted, then your charge card won't be any good unless you put more money back into the account.
In effect, paying off what you just charged.
Exactly, exactly.
So you're staying on top of it and building credit score.
Yeah, you're actually, basically you're using cash, but you're creating a credit record. Yes.
Good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Okay, here's number two. John and Evelyn, I'm 28 and single. How much life insurance do I need?
The purpose of life insurance is to replace the income of the breadwinner. So if you're not married and you have no family obligations, you really don't need to have a specific amount of life insurance.
I would think the only reason you might want to buy it now is to get it before you could possibly have a serious medical problem, and the insurance would be either more expensive or impossible to get based on that health challenge. But outside of that, I agree with you. If you're single, no obligations, you don't need it.
And just buy the least expensive policy that you can get.
Always term.
All right, John and Evelyn, we do have time for one more. Here we go. My grown son has not been wise with his money. Now his car has broken down, and he has no money to fix it. Should I help or allow him to learn from his mistakes?
You know, as a parent, that's really a tough situation to be in because there's no response that works for everyone. So I would start by praying about it and trying to seek the Lord's will and what to do there.
If you do decide to help, make sure that you give your son any stipulations up front, like if you want him to take a Compass Catholic Bible study, or you want him to pay back a specific amount each payday, put that up front, and it's best even to put that in writing, not just verbally. From your personal standpoint, I wouldn't expect to get a payback.
If you can't afford to give it to him as a gift, don't do it.
And if you have a question for John and Evelyn, maybe there's a financial challenge in your life that you'd like some advice on, they're here for you. Send the email to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. And while you're on compasscatholic.org, check out our free financial calculators. On the navigation bar, click on resources, and you'll see calculators. We have mortgage calculators. You can compare the difference between a 15 and 30 year mortgage. Just plug in your numbers. Also estimated what your monthly payment would be or how much home I can afford. Also, we have a credit card calculator, debt management. And if you're in the retirement area, you're thinking about it, how much would it take for me to retire? How much more do I need to save for retirement? It's all there and it's free. CompassCatholic.org, financial calculators. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, we have a brand new podcast for you. We post a new one for you every Wednesday morning. Go to CompassCatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on the button podcast, and away you go. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.